Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word.
Praise the Lord. Well, I was listening to a minister this week, and he was talking about how he came from humble beginnings, and he was driving his car one day, and he was he just started ministry, and he was struggling. And he was 59 cents a gallon for his gas, and he was going down the road, you know, and he couldn't even fill his tank. And the Lord spoke to him, and as an airplane flew over him, and he said, "One day you're going to have an airplane." And he couldn't even, you know, have enough money to fill up his tank of gas, you know, but God had showed him, you know, that one day he was going to fly in an airplane, and he just couldn't even fathom it, you know. And he went and told his friend about it. And he was a minister. He'd been his friend for about 14 years, I believe it was, or he'd been in the ministry 14 years, something like that. And he went and told his friend about it, and his friend was like, "No, that's never going to happen to you," you know. And, you know, that's kind of what inspired this message today. We're going to be talking about that today. And if you go to Psalm 78, the 78th chapter there, we're going to get into the scripture. You know, are you limiting God today? You know, this gentleman talking to him was limiting God. Amen. And we're not supposed to limit God, and, you know, and God had big dreams, and that man did end up getting into his airplane, and that other gentleman, he wanted to fly with him, and he didn't let him fly with him, you know, in his new airplane, you know, because he was thinking too small, you know. And, you know, God's got big dreams for you and big aspirations for you, and, you know, you don't need to be a small thinker. Let's look over at Psalm 78 chapter in the 40th verse. It says, "How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." So they tempted God, didn't they? Israel did. And they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from their enemy. Now you think about this. Israel, you know, he brought them through the Red Sea. He gave them water out of a rock, rained manna from heaven. You know, and yet they still limited God. You know, are you limiting God today? Psalm 78 in the 40th verse there in the Passion Translation says it like this: "How many times they rebelled in their desert days, how they grieved him with their grumblings. Again and again they limited God, preventing him from blessing them." Think about that today. I mean, how are you limiting him today? And keeping him from blessing you? Are you preventing him from blessing you because you're not thinking big enough? Maybe you're saying, "How do I do that?" Well, are you thinking too small? God doesn't think small. Just look at the creation. You know, if you look at the, you know, God could have made one kind of tree, but he made a vast number of trees, did he? Matter of fact, I did some research on this. I thought it was interesting. I was like, how many trees are there in the world? And I looked it up, and it says that there are 60,000 trees and 60,065 species of trees in the world. Think about that. God could have made one tree, couldn't he? But he made 60,000 trees and 65 in the world. Wow. He's a big God, isn't he? And he thinks big, doesn't he? You know, he took the time to make that many trees, you know, and he could have made just one, you know. He could have made one type of fish, couldn't he? But he made a number of fish, didn't he? Matter of fact, I looked up how many fish were in the world. I thought this was interesting. Various fish groups account for more than half of the vertebrate species. There are almost 28,000 known extinct species of fish. That's unbelievable, isn't it? 26,000, it says, of which almost 27,000 are bony fish, and 970 sharks, rays, and chimeras, I believe is how they put it. But there's about 27,000 fish altogether. That's unbelievable. He's a huge God, isn't he? And he thinks big, doesn't he? Think about that. He could have made just one fish. I think we would have been happy with just one little fish, but no, God, he thought we should have 27,000 fish. That's amazing to me. And, you know, he could have made one kind of fruit. I was looking this up too, you know, but he made lots of different types of fruit. Did you realize that there's 2,000 types of fruits on this world, of which the Western world only uses 10% of those fruits? So there's 2,000 types of fruits in the world. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, he could have said, "I just want, you know, one banana." He could have said, "We could just have one orange." But no, God made 2,000 types of fruits for us. that's amazing to me. And my wife collects plants. So I thought, well, hey, why don't we look up and see how many plants he made? He said, well, there's about 300,000 plant species living in the world today. 300,000. That's amazing, isn't it? Think about that. You know, he could have said, well, I'd be happy with one little flower. You know, he could have said, well, I'd be happy with one tulip, you know, but he didn't. He said, I'm going to make 3,000 plant species. God thinks big, doesn't he? He thinks, hey, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it big. You know, I remember I had a girlfriend in high school and man, she had wanted a stick of gum. So I went in and I bought a whole case of gum when I came out. You know, why do we do stuff like that? You know, as men, you know, well, it's because we think like our father thinks. You know, God wants to do things big. You know, he wants to do things big in a big way. Praise the Lord. You know, I also looked up about stars. You realize how many stars are out there. I thought it was very interesting. Astronomers had estimated that they observed that the universe has 100 billion galaxies. And our own Milky Way at home around us has 300 billion stars. Think about that. He could have made just one twinkling star out there, you know, but he made 300 billion stars. Wow. Think about that. You know, he could have just made one Milky Way or one Little Dipper and one Big Dipper, you know, and been done with it. But no, he made 300 billion stars. It's because he thinks big, doesn't he? You know, he's a God that doesn't think small at all. I remember someone talking about Oral Roberts. When you went to his desk, he had a plaque on the front of it. It says, no small thinking here. Well, why does he have a plaque like that? And why does he feel that way? Well, it's, you know, he's passed away now, but you know, why would he think that way? And you look at all the big things he did, you know, if you drive across the ORU campus, you see all those big buildings and the dreams and aspirations he had, you know, but why would he think big like that? You know, you say, well, why would a Christian think that way? You know, well, you know, it's because our father thinks that way. We think like our father thinks. Amen. We were created in his image, you know, in his likeness, you know, and we think like he thinks. Amen. And, you know, are you thinking too small today? You need to be thinking like your father thinks. Amen. He thinks big, doesn't he? And, you know, if you're going to do the things that he wants you to do, you're going to need to start thinking way bigger than what you can think, you know, in your natural self. You need to think like God thinks. Amen. Let's go over to Matthew the 19th chapter there. Are you limiting God by your small thinking today? Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. You know, you may be looking at a circumstance and God's giving you a picture on the inside of something. And it just seems impossible, you know. But with him, he sees it as an easy thing. You know, he creates billions of stars and lots of fish and huge amounts of plants. Nothing's hard for him. Amen. Luke 1:37 says in the King James Version, it says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Isn't it good to be on his side? It's, you know, you think about nothing that you do is impossible for him. You know, you can have the biggest dream in the world and it could be something that's just outrageous to everybody around you. You know, look at Joseph. I mean, his dream was huge and all of his family, they thought he was probably crazy, you know. You know, so much that it made him jealous, you know, of his dream. But, you know, you think about that, you know, God didn't see it that way, did he? And God doesn't ever see it, anything that you're believing for and the biggest dream that you have, he doesn't see it as impossible, does he? He sees it like it's very achievable. No problem for him. Amen. Luke 1:37, the Passion Translation says, not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. And maybe today you're limiting God in your life today. Are you thinking too small? You know, I was thinking today about a story my wife told me. You know, she has a master's in psychology, you know, and lots of training in psychology, and told me about this story, or talked about how this, that we have to be careful about painting ourselves into a corner. I thought that was an interesting story, you know, or interesting thing to say. You know, are you painting yourself into a corner and got yourself all limited? Think about that. You're in a corner and you're painted in a little box, you know, and you think about that. Is your mind like that? Do you think like inside the box all the time? Are you a person that thinks way outside the box? You know, are you limiting yourself? Do you say, well, I can't, in your situation, do you think that I, you know, I, I can't do anything to get out of this situation. There's no way out, or I'm going to have to stay this way for the rest of my life. You know, are you painting yourself into a corner? We have to watch our thinking, don't we? We have to keep ourselves renewed to the fact that there's nothing. And you might want to repeat this with me. There is nothing impossible for God. That dream that seems big is small to God, isn't it? It's not, you know, big to him. Think about him. He's huge. He's everywhere at one time. He's a God that creates multitudes of fish, multiple, you know, trees. And man, he makes tons of galaxies. And, you know, I looked up, he made 8 planets. And outside the 8 planets, they got 8 more planets that they believe that could be planets. Think about that. He just puts them in the sky and hangs them out there for you, you know. But, you know, for him, he don't think small, you know, and there's nothing in your life that is impossible for him. Maybe you're dealing with issues in your life that you think can't be resolved, but nothing, say it with me, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. You need to think bigger, dream bigger, hope bigger. You know, there's some people that may have lost hope today. Man, you need to get some hope in you, praise the Lord, and think like God thinks. Your situation's nothing for him. He can fix it with no problem. I used to tell people as a prayer minister, I used to pray with people all the time, you know, and I would pray with them and I'd start to pray with them. I'd say, well, you remember, you know, God can work it out 1,000,000 ways. Think about that. You know, I wanted to get their thinking to think, well, man, once we pray, don't worry about it. He's got tons of ways to work it out for you. Praise the Lord, you know, and he does. He can work it out for you with no problem. He's got so many ways and so many resources. He can fix it with no problem. Amen. He's everywhere at one time. He can talk to somebody tonight. He can talk to somebody tomorrow. He can fix your situation. He can show you the way out, but you got to have a little bit of faith. Amen. You got to believe in him. Amen. You need to dream bigger, hope bigger. It just takes a little bit of faith, just a little bit. It don't even take a lot. Did you realize that? You don't have to have a lot of faith, and you don't have to be like working on this for years and years. It just takes a little bit of faith, and you just need to trust in our big God. Amen. He's big. It's not a problem for him. There's nothing that's a problem for him. He can fix it with no problem. Let's look at Matthew, the 17th chapter real quick. I'll give you just a moment to get there. Matthew, the 17th chapter. And we're going to go on down to the 19th verse. Matthew 17, in the 19th verse, it says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. He says, nothing will be impossible to you. If you just have a little bit of faith, just a little bit of faith, not a whole lot, did he? He said the size of a grain of a mustard seed. You have to have something. We've talked about this before we started, something to work with. Amen. And in your case, you just have to have a little bit of faith in your big God. Amen. He can fix it with no problem, but you got to have a little bit of faith. Let's listen to read the message version of that. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, why couldn't we throw it out? Because you're not yet taking God seriously. Jesus said, the simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain move and it would move. There's nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. I like that. He says there's nothing you're not able to tackle if you just have a poppy seed of faith. That's a little bit of faith, isn't it? Not a lot. You don't take a whole bunch. But if you'll just have a little bit of faith in your big God, you can move mountains, you can fix situations, change your whole circumstances. It don't take a lot, but you have to have a little bit of faith. Amen. God loves faith. You must have faith. We have to have faith. We must have it. The Bible talks about in Hebrews that we must have faith to please him. Amen. You must. You say, well, I don't want to. Well, we must have faith. You know, maybe there's somebody out there in the you know, you're a Christian and your denomination doesn't teach this, you know. But Hebrews says we must have faith to please him. We must have it. Not that we might get it or we should have it. No. He says you must have faith. Amen. And, you know, if you want to come out of your circumstances and your challenges, you must have faith. Just a little bit of faith. so he can fix it for you. Amen. He's not asking a lot, is he? God doesn't. He doesn't ever ask a whole lot of us. He just asks us to believe, doesn't he? You know, and that's a mighty big challenge for a lot of people. You know, they've been programmed with so many different things. But, you know, God just asks you to believe just a little bit. Amen. Matthew, the 17th and 19th verse in the Passion Translation, which I've been enjoying this translation a lot. It says, later the disciples came to him privately and asked, why couldn't we cast out this demon? He told them, it was because of your lack of faith. I promise you, if you have faith inside of you, no bigger than the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move away from here and go over there, and you will see it move. There is nothing you couldn't do. Think about that. There's nothing you couldn't do if you could just have a little bit of faith. It doesn't take a lot. You know, you say, well, man, I need to build this up for years and years and years. No, no. He says here, all you need is just a little bit. Amen. It only takes a little bit of faith in God, and you can do the impossible. Amen. There could be nothing that you can't tackle, and there could be nothing you can't accomplish with God. Are you limiting God today? You know, God don't like being limited, you know. That's something he doesn't enjoy. He talked about Israel limiting him. He doesn't enjoy you limiting him. He wants to do great things in your life. He wants big things to be done in your life. And, you know, when he wants to do those things in your life, you know, and you stop him from doing them, you know, he doesn't like that. He wants to do big things in your life. I believe in heaven, even when we get to heaven, he's going to want to do big things in your life. You know, he said he went to prepare a mansion for you. It sounds like he's already starting to do big things before you even get there. Amen. Because he wants to do big things in your life. I remember I was driving down. I was learning a lot about prosperity and things like that. And I just learned to trust God. And the Lord was telling me, you know, he said, I was looking at an ad and there were three guitars in this ad. And I was talking with the Lord that day. And I said, man, I'd like to get those guitars. He said, why don't you buy all three of them? And I had the money, you know, to buy all three of them. But I didn't have the faith to pay for all three of them. I thought, well, man, are we going to eat dinner tonight if I pay for all three of these guitars? No, you know, but, you know, he didn't think that way. And he was trying to show me that, you know, I was thinking too small, you know, and I did trust him for, I bought one and he brought the money in. But what if I bought three? He would have brought the money in, wouldn't he have? But, you know, because he said I could get them, you know, but you think about that today, you know, are you thinking small? Are you saying, well, man, I can only have one? When he's saying you could get all three of them, you know, it's because he wants to do big things in your life. That's just an example. God is trying to teach us to think bigger, to accomplish in our lives. We need to think bigger with our minds and keep ourselves thinking about how big he is. Amen. Amen. Well, let's look at this. I was actually listening to a minister not too long ago. And if you have a pad or some paper there, you might try this. Keith Moore was talking about, he said, what would you believe for in your life if money was no object? What would you do? What would you believe him for if money was no object? Would you believe him for some big thing for your destiny or some big purpose, you know? And, you know, you keep thinking about all the obstacles that money does to stop you from getting there. What would you believe him for? You know, would you give a minister $1 million? Would you pay for his church? Would you do something really big with your life if money was no object, you know? Well, money isn't an object to God, you know? He's wanting you to think bigger, you know? But, you know, you start writing those down. You know, I did this. I decided, well, hey, I'm going to do this. And I start writing down the things, you know, and I looked at it. And it's like, it's amazing. And Keith Moore talked about this too, how when you do this, and I think you should do this with your family as a father today, you know, and your family, you write down the biggest dreams and biggest goals you have, and you'll look at it, and you'll be surprised how little that actually is, you know, because you're talking about, I mean, if you were going to talk to a billionaire today, and he has all the unlimited resources, and you write down the things that you write, you'll find out that it's probably about the size of a Happy Meal, you know, because we don't think as big as we should. And it's a good exercise to get a tablet or get a piece of paper or tablet or get something to write down. What would you do if money was no object? I'd suggest doing that tonight before you go to bed, you and your family. Write out what would y'all do if money was no object in your life? What big dreams would you have? What would you accomplish, you know? You know, you need to have a vision this year, and you should sit down and write it and have big dreams and aspirations, and don't limit God. And see, that's the whole thing. When you write it out, are you limiting God? You know, you'll find out when you, even at your biggest, you'll be surprised how much you limit God. you know, and you should take the time to do that with your family today. I thought that'd be a great thing to do on Father's Day, to write out what our dreams and aspirations are. Praise the Lord. One person said, if your dream isn't big enough for God to get involved, you need to dream another dream. Isn't that good? You know, if it's not big enough for you and him to accomplish, not just you, but with him to help you accomplish, you know, with all of his resources to help you, then you think about that. That should be a big dream, you know. You know, God can help you accomplish a big thing in your life and accomplish big dreams in your life. Amen. Gloria Copeland said it like this one time, and I thought this was a great quote. Said, God has never asked me and Ken to do something that was possible in the natural. You know, and if God isn't what he's asking you to do, it's not going to look possible to you. You know, it's going to look impossible. It's going to look like something that's a challenge, you know, for you to do in yourself, and you're going to need help. Amen. It should take everything within you, and it should be something that looks like impossible to you. Amen. What are you going to do this year? How many people are you going to help this year? Amen. You could help tons of people. I've heard of people just having a coat ministry and you know, building up a huge amount of coats and helping people when it comes wintertime, and they have a whole ministry of coats, you know. Why would they do that? Well, you know, it's because they think big, you know. They have a whole building of coats, and they can help a homeless or help somebody, you know. Why would they have a dream like that, you know, of helping somebody? That's the God kind of love, isn't it? Helping people, amen. But, you know, what are you doing? Have you helped anybody this year? And what is your big dream? Have you contributed to some ministries and maybe given more this year, and then next year trust God for even double that, and the next year trust for triple that? You know, we should be helping other people and being a blessing to other people, or reaching out if you're a minister today and have a huge dream, you know, to get as many people saved as humanly possible on this planet. Jesus is coming soon. We need to have a big dream, amen, and we need to be reaching out to touch as many people as possible. Are you going to step out into the impossible waters and see Jesus a whole different way than you ever seen him before? Think about that. You know, when Peter stepped out on the water, he stepped out and saw some impossible things, didn't he? He saw Jesus could hold him up, you know, and do the impossible. You know, today you may want to have you step out, and you say, well, man, that's crazy. Well, you know, you step out, just use a little bit of faith, you know, and trust that he'll hold you up and you can do the big things that he's wanting to do in your life. Amen. Jerry Seville prophesied in 2020, he said, I will open a new door and you will experience supernatural increase beyond anything you have experienced before. Maybe he's wanting to increase you this year, like Jerry Seville's talking about. He's opened a door for you, but you won't step through it. Why? Why won't you step through it? Step out there. Use some faith. Amen. Doesn't take very much. We just talked about that. We're trusting in him. Amen. He's big. He can take care of you, but you've got to use a little bit of faith. Amen. Just takes a little bit. Is God talking to you about a new door? Are you going to see God do the impossible this year? All you need to do have is just a little bit of faith. Amen. Just a little bit of faith, and you can reach out and see God work in your life in a way you've never seen him do it before, you know, and that draws you closer to him. You know, the Bible says we're laborers together with who? With him. Amen. And that, you know, you get closer to God when you trust him to do things in your life. You get closer to God when you're using your faith every day. Amen. You get closer to him. You're walking with him. You trust in him. You get closer to him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for this Father's Day, Lord, and these wonderful fathers, Lord. Help them to dream big, Father, not to limit you today, Father. Help them to see big, Father, and to do the things that you have for their lives, Father, that are big, Father, Lord. And help them with their family today to sit around and to draw out and get the pad out and see how big they can dream today, Father, Lord, and trust you that those dreams come to pass, Father. Father, we just ask that you help every one of them, Father, today to be encouraged and to see what they can do if money was no option, Father, Lord. We just ask for that, and we just thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. And Father, if there's somebody out there that's not saved today, Father, we like to always give them an opportunity. They may be today struggling and trying to decide if they want to be saved, and they're going back and forth about it all day, and you know, we don't want them to have an eternity in hell, Father, Lord. We want them to have an eternity with you and fulfill a purpose for their life and fulfill the purpose that you have on their life. You didn't put them here by accident, Father. They're here for a reason, Father. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you help them as we pray this prayer to get saved. And we just ask Holy Spirit to convict them and help them to get on the path for you and get on with what their life. If someone's that's saved and they're off today, help them to get right on with you today, Father. And we just ask for that in Jesus' name. If you're not saved, pray this with me, and we'll just believe God for you and say you can be saved right now. All you got to do is believe God has raised Jesus from the dead. And then you just confess Jesus as Lord. That's Romans, the 10th chapter, 9th and 10th verses. If you confess the Lord Jesus and believe God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so just pray this with me. Father, I just thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I just confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, then you are saved. That's what the Bible says. And that doesn't mean that's how you feel right at this moment, but you are saved, amen, right now. And we'd love to hear from you. If you would, you need to email us. You can email us here at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com. If you don't remember that or don't have a pen, you can go to our website at jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam.com, and there's our email there. We'd love to hear from you. We want to hear from you and encourage you. And if there's somebody out there that, God's done something special in life, email us, let us know. We'd just love to hear from you. We love you a whole bunch, and we're here for you. That's why we're here. God bless you. Thank you for this day. I hope that you have a wonderful Father's Day.
If you'd like to contact us for prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.